Good morning, children. Good to see you all here today. Good to have you this Sabbath. Well, I just wanted to ask you, what anyone know what tomorrow is? New Year. Yes, we're having a new year. A new year that we can make decisions in, right? Well, I have another question. Have you ever followed somebody? You have like your mommy or your daddy. Yeah. Well, this new year, we want to follow what's right, don't we? And I usually if we follow someone, that means we love them, right? Mm-hmm. And I have little pictures here to show you. Here's a mommy cow, and look what's following her. Baby cow. Oh, because baby cow loves mommy cow, right? And mommy cow loves baby cow. And look, what's this? Horse. You see the baby horse following the mommy horse? You see that? You do? Right there. Oh, and look, this is really a wonderful picture. Look how many babies this bear had. Were they all following the mommy? Yes. Uh-huh. Because the babies love their mommies, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, and look at this, Mommy. Look how many. Oh, Duck, she had a lot, and all of them were following because they loved their mommy, right? Right? And I thought this was really cute. This elephant. He even had hold of the mommy's tail and trusted the mommy where she would lead, right? So, you know, in this new year, we're going to be following, you know, your parents. They want what's good for you, right? And Jesus also wants good for us. And in his word, he talked about following. You know, let me read you this verse real quick. Or I'll have Alicia read this verse real quick. It come out of, oh, wait a minute. 4:19. And this is what Jesus says.
Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men."
What did Jesus say? Follow me. Yes, make you fishers of men. And if we follow Jesus, that means we love him, right? And he said that there are two ways to follow. Pastor talked about this a couple of Sabbaths ago. And he talked about a broad way. And he also talked about a narrow way. A narrow path. A broad way and a narrow way. I don't know if you've seen little paths in the out in nature before, and paths sometimes are skinny. They're not a broad road to follow. Paths are smaller, right? And Jesus said that his way, he says, come and follow him. Narrow and difficult is the way. And the broad way is easy. And the narrow, difficult way, where do you think that leads to? Heaven. That's right. Mm-hmm. Where would this broad way lead to? Leads to eternal death. Right. And Jesus, which road do you think Jesus is on? This one? Right. Uh-huh. So we'll put Jesus up there. Which world do you think Satan's on? I won't put it. Narrow, yes. Okay. Now, if we neglect to read our Bibles and to study the Bible, which road do you think we're going on? The broad way? Yes, so if we neglect our Bible, we're going the wrong way. But if we read our Bibles, where do you think we will go? Yeah, and stay close to Jesus. Which road do you think breaks the commandments? This one? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That road breaks the commandments. And which road keeps the commandments? Right. Yeah. And just like these boys and girls here in this little felt thing, they're standing like this new year. We're standing at the new year. And a lot of people make New Year's resolutions. Have you heard that term before? A resolution means to make a firm decision. So this New Year's, let's let our firm decision be for this narrow way and keep God's commandments, following the right path. The Bible says His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So we need to keep following this narrow way. So let's all pray. How many of you want to follow the narrow way? Let's raise our hands. We want to follow that narrow way. Well, let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your guidance through life. And as we enter this new year, help us all to make firm decisions, to commit our lives daily to you. And we thank you for these children. I ask you to bless each one as they study and learn more of you and keeping your word. Bless each one of them and their parents as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you very much. You can go back to your seats now.
It's now time for morning prayers. If you have your blue cards, please bring it forward. Let us please kneel. Our Savior and our God, we thank you for another blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our lives on a daily basis. We are so thankful. Sinners, as we are, we pray that you cleanse us from all our iniquities. Help us, Father, to do that which is right. We pray that you continue to keep us together as one big family in the church. Bind us together with the cords of love, of unity, of oneness. We continue to pray for the children in our midst. Lord, we pray that you continue to protect and guide them. Pray that you give us wisdom so that we'll be able to raise them in your love and in your fear. Pray for the young people as well. Pray that you continue to strengthen us to overcome the temptations of the world and help us to be better people. Serving you in whatever we do, in our schools, in our place of work, and help us to be better people as well to our friends and our neighbors. We pray for your spirit this hour. We pray that your angels be with us as we worship you. In a very special way, we pray for the preacher Lord, we pray that you speak through him, and we pray that you open our hearts as well so that we may be receptive to your word. Father Divine, we thank you for the so many blessings in 2016 and all the challenges that you've brought us through. We are just so thankful and just so grateful. We don't know what the future holds, but we definitely know who holds the future. And so we just cast our cares and our burdens into your care. And we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us. We commit all the prayer requests, the blue cards, into your care. Lord, before even we make our request known, you already know what our needs are, what our prayer requests are. And Lord, we say, let your will be done. Answer our prayers according to your will. This and many more masses we ask through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our offering today goes to our local conference, Kansas, Nebraska, evangelism offering. Evangelism is not what Adventists do, it is who we are. A family who shares the good news, Jesus is God's gift of salvation. The offering today will support the efforts of church across the conference to share the good news in their communities. Because of your generosity, many more people will become members of God's family in Nebraska and Kansas. May the deacons come forward to lift the offering.
Praise him all. is here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Father God in heaven, we are so thankful for all of the offering that was given. We ask that you would bless those that give, bless those that didn't have it to give. And we ask that these offerings will go to be used to your name, to your honor, to your glory, that many more people will come to know you as Lord of their life, so that when you shall come, we will all be caught up together to meet you in the air. And we give you the thanks and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It's a beautiful day. This morning we're going to sing a Swahili song, but in English it's entitled Once I Was in Sin, something like that. We don't have a PowerPoint, do we? Okay. It's entitled Once I Was in Sin. And there was a darkness in my heart. And Jesus knocked the door of my heart. And I opened it. And He removed the darkness in my heart. As we are about to close the 2016 and open a new chapter of 2017. Unfortunately, you didn't see the words, but I hope this introduction may lead us to lean more to Jesus. It's my wish that 2017 be a better year and we lean more to Jesus and we become more close to Him. Kale in Swahili is, the title is said, Kale Nilitembea Gizani. I was in sin.
Alikuja, yes.
Shina Aduli Wote Kweli Hakuna Mungu Mwingine Kuwa Oko Wako Saji Akafanya Vita Msalabani Akashinda Aduli Wote Kweli Hakuna Alikuja Yesu Kizani mwa roho ya Tunilimkaribisha aingie Giza akaliondoa Alikuja Yesu Kizani mwa roho ya
For our scripture reading, let us please take our Bibles and turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. It reads, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen. Thank you.
Happy Sabbath, three angels. What a beautiful song that was, right? I know we couldn't understand most of the words that were being said, but we just want to thank God because heaven is going to be a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place. Yes? I didn't know I was supposed to preach up until Wednesday night at prayer meeting. And just because of my human nature, I thought everything was supposed to be in tatters, you know, like everything will just fall apart. Because Pastor had a function that he was supposed to hold here, but it got canceled. And he told me that I was going to go ahead and preach. I was the platform chairman. I was supposed to pick somebody to come and do the morning prayer. Somebody to come do the offertory. At the same time, I was supposed to be up top doing the translating. But God is good because everything just went according to plan without even thinking about it, without even putting too much effort to it. The children's story today is said about a narrow path and a wide path, right? Amen? Okay. The children's story today was saying about a narrow path and a wide path, right? It was beautifully illustrated. And the morning prayer itself was a prayer of praise. We got to be thankful every single time. We don't have always to come to God always when we're in trouble and just trying to ask Him. You know, like at times just spare a prayer or two, just that way you can actually just praise God for His goodness. You know? Because think about all throughout this year. It's been turmoil after turmoil, right? But we have new friends. We have new brothers and sisters. Think about all the good things that God has done to you up until this moment. We are to praise God. I'm going to kneel down and say a word of prayer before I begin. And if you would bow your heads with me. Our kind and loving Father, have mercy on us, Father, by drawing closer to us at this hour, Father. Open our hearts, Father, and open our minds. Fill us with your Spirit, Father, that way we might be just receptive to your word, Father. Father in heaven, I want to put myself down and just want to lift you up and glorify you, Father. Use me as a vessel, Father, and just reach that one soul that has to be reached today, Father. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I do pray and believe. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Samuel, 119, verse 105. Psalms 119, verse 105. Verse 105. You'll be reading the whole day till you get to 105, you know? But we just have to have endurance, especially in reading the Word of God. He says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Think about it for a minute. The narrow path and the wide path. You know? There's so many scripture verses in the Bible that talk about a light. I like going through our church website and going through past sermons that have been preached before. And the one that really stuck to my head and really made me do whatever I'm going to do today was preached by Charlene Bryant about lighthouses. So you can see, you can preach in so many different ways, in a variety of ways, about the Word of God being a light in our lives. Right? But why the book of Psalms? It's a fun fact. Psalms 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. In Hebrew, it says, by the way, I do not speak Hebrew at all. I speak Swahili, I speak Kisi, I speak a little bit of French, and I speak English, but Hebrew. But I'm just going to try, so just bear with me. It says, Ashrei temei direchi. Well, in English, that translates to, happy are those whose way is perfect. And why does it say that? Why did the Hebrews translate this, this verse like that? This is how it starts. So they translate it to, happy are those whose way is perfect. Psalms 119. Being the longest chapter in the Bible. It has 176 verses in it, like I told you. It's pretty long. And there's so many people. There's actually a pastor that has preached 38 sermons just from this one chapter. So you can imagine. But just bear with me and indulge me for a moment. When you go through the whole book, not the whole book, well, the whole chapter, I insist, the whole chapter of Psalms 119, we don't know the writer exactly, the Psalms that wrote it, but we see that is most people translate Psalms into songs, so you can divide it to 22 stanzas. That would be a really long song. But when you read through it, you can see the words that you get from reading the whole chapter. The psalmist here on 119 loved the word of God. The way you read it, you feel that this man, he wrote it because he actually really loved the word of God. He was a man, though, who was afflicted. We all know about affliction. But this was a man that was afflicted at the same time, but was joyful and delighted in God's word. On Wednesday night, I gave an illustration here about joy and happiness. It doesn't mean that when you're a Christian, you're shielded, that you'll never have any kind of affliction or you'll never have any kind of worries, right? Think about somebody who's rich. He has a big house. He has 7 bedrooms in his house. He has a big car out in the parking lot. It has a full tank, right? He seems happy because he has everything that he needs, right? But as life happens, death occurs in his life. Somebody close to him dies. Do you think for a minute he's going to think of how many bedrooms he has in his house? Or if he has a full tank of gas in his car, or what kind of rims that he have on his car? No. Unless he is plugged in. You need to be plugged into the source to find that joy in affliction. My brothers and sisters, this is really important that you understand what I'm trying to say. You have to be plugged in to the source and get that joy in the midst of all our afflictions. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of John. 1:1. Somebody say amen when he's there. But it's not a race, though. It says, in the beginning, there was a word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. I mean, powerful, right? You can mistake it to be the first verse in the Bible because, like, this is John, right? This is John. This is somebody who was really close from all the apostles. He was really close to Jesus Christ. We are Seventh-day Adventists. And our whole mission, we have the three angels' message, right? And we also have to, we are called to bring people in. People who do not know Christ, but they want to learn about Christ. I want to encourage you to make them start by the book of John. They're going to really understand how this man viewed Jesus Christ and his ministry and really make them appreciate. I'm not saying that you don't go anywhere. I had a friend of mine. Well, he's not a friend. There was a church. There was a function here at church and somebody came and he wanted to help. But this was his first time ever coming to a church. straight away he went to Revelation. He's like, tell me about Revelation. This is all what I want to know. You know, he didn't know anything about Christ. Everything in our lives needs to be centered in the life of Jesus Christ, period. I want you to stay on that book because we're going to see it here in a little bit. Many people stumble through life here on earth because they don't have the light. They walk in complete darkness. Why I said everything is just going according to plan, and trust me, it's not my plan. This is God's plan. Because I wasn't there for the song, but the song talked about darkness. The verse, the chorus about it was saying, he came into my heart when I was in darkness. Happy are those who have received the light. People are walking in darkness. It's kind of like stumbling. Last week on prayer meeting, I came in and I found Elder Dan trying to raise the blinds right here. He told me, even if there's so much sunlight, you can't see in here. So for you to walk through here without light, it's just like you're going to be stumbling, right? Then, on the same chapter, let's go down to verse 5. And it reads, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. I think about the story of creation, right before creation. Think about complete darkness. Like we think when it's dark outside, there's really so much darkness. But we were given the moon to rule over the darkness, right? These two verses go together. And the good thing about the Bible is the Bible translates itself. You've got to be faithful. You gotta be diligent, but soon you're just gonna understand that the Bible translates itself. The New Testament translates the Old Testament, and it explains itself slowly, slowly, but without time. It's not like you just all of a sudden. I'm pretty sure you've heard the story about that man that went and he had never read the Bible, and immediately he opened the Bible because he needed something right there and then. So he opened the Bible. He was just waiting for God just to speak through him through the Bible. He opened it and it's read that Judas hanged himself. Oh my goodness, that is... Okay, this person has never opened the Bible, but that's the first verse. He's like, oh my, you know? He's like, maybe I'll try again, you know? And then opened a couple more pages and then he said, hurry up quickly with haste. You know? He's like, okay, what is this Bible trying to tell me, you know? So this is what I'm saying. The Bible takes time. We have to be diligent in reading the Bible. We have to make time, especially in our mornings. They call it fast fruit. Some people call it fast fruits, but I just say submitting myself to God. I was listening to Audioverse the other day. This man said he takes his shoes and hides them all the way down underneath his bed, like all the way down. That way he doesn't forget how to pray or when to pray, because for him to get up, he has to get on all fours and then get his shoes. That way he can take the shoes, but he'll be in all fours and then he remembers to pray every single day, right? I want to encourage each and every one to submit themselves to God every single day, just complete surrender. It has changed my life. Most of you just see me and then you see me a busybody. I'm always running around the church trying to handle so many things. But if it weren't for the Bible, if it weren't for the Word of God, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now. And I'm still hungry because I don't know anything yet, because every single time I open this book, no matter how many times I read it, My goodness, I tell you, it's a powerful book. It's a powerful book that will change your lives. I remember there was a point in my life that people told me that I didn't know anything. I have a woman in my job right now that I'm counseling. She's 50 years old, and she tells me she's never met a wiser young man than I am. I'm like, goodness, no. But I'm just telling you, the Word of God has power to transform each and every mind in here. I want to challenge every single person in here, because we are Seventh-day Adventists. Maybe you've strayed away from the Bible just in your daily devotion, or you've just come to church. You know, most people just come regularly to church, and after sermon, after the fellowship meal, they might be lucky just to hang in there and just be in the fellowship meal. If they're not, they just go. That's the only kind of devotion that they have up until next Sabbath. I want to invite you to come back to church. Try and read the Bible. And if you're one of those people, I'm not pointing names or trying to mention anybody, come back. Try the book of Mark if you've just gone astray and then came back. You know? Try and read all these Gospels. You will understand what I'm trying to tell you. Verse 1 and verse 5 just confirm this about the scripture reading for today. The scripture reading is from the book of Psalms 119 verse 105, right? It translates that the word plus the light is equals to the guide. We are very ignorant as human beings because it's our human nature. We rely on ourselves so much that we make our plans, you know? But if you don't have a guide, like I said, you're walking in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, you're going to stumble, right? The word plus the light is equal to a guide. How do we apply this? Is to, as Christians, or better yet, how do we apply this as Seventh-day Adventists? I'm not going to read the whole thing. Turn your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21-43. This is a story of a church elder or a leader of a church. His name was Jairus. He was the leader of a synagogue. This was during the time of Jesus. Why do I bring this subject in right now? It's the reliance that I told you about, the self-sufficiency that we think we have in our own thoughts. We think about that we have our own wisdom. We think we were wise, but we are not. Most people want to do everything that they want to do according to their own will instead of submitting to God and letting God and God's word be their guides. And this hits home real hard because it's even here in our church, whereby we're just so reliant on our own that we don't think about what God or what the Word of God can do to us. Let's say, for example, you're all familiar with this story where Jesus raised the daughter of this man, Jairus, right? Jesus had gone back to his hometown, but these people had were very, very hard on receiving him. These people did not want him. Like, where he's wanted the most, that's where you think like people would receive him. But it's not like they didn't have the scriptures. They had all these things from prophecy. They had them, and they knew that they had a savior in them, but they just rejected him. But then again, on a Sabbath afternoon, when after preaching, this man Jairus went to Jesus and told him his daughter was sick and she was dying. Jesus decided to go heal her because she wasn't dead at the point. So he decided to heal her. But on his way there, there was a big crowd. There was a big crowd that was going with Jesus following him. So think about, I come from Nairobi, Kenya. My city alone has 3 million people just in the city. When you wake up in the morning to go to downtown, it's just bodies, like you just battling. This is just how you walk because everybody's just there. I took my wife, Ashlyn, down there in 2010. On the very first day we went to downtown, she got pickpocketed. She lost her phone. That's like, and she didn't, she had no clue when she came into contact with anybody. But that was the very first time. So it's because it's just so many bodies going back and forth, you know? But, so think about, okay, switch back to this story of Jairus, and Jesus is heading back, and it says in the Bible that Jesus was heading back, and there was a large crowd. And all of a sudden, with all the tussling and bustling that's going around, somebody touched Jesus' clothes. Right? So we can see by verse 30, when we get to just Mark, by verse 30, it says, Jesus asked, who has touched me? Right? And then you find not somebody else, but just some of his disciples. I'm not going to mention names and don't quote me on this one. Judas. But no, just forget that I said that. But there was somebody who asked him, I mean, with all these people, who do you think has touched you? Like, so think about who out of all the 12 disciples is the main suspect or had a suspect behavior. I'm just going to let it just be in your brains. That way you can just illustrate by yourself. But this lady, she touched the clothes of Jesus and immediately she felt better. She had been suffering for 12 years. I wouldn't know anything about it because I'm a man. But she has been suffering for 12 years. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine going through what she was going through for 12 whole years. But immediately she touched Jesus' clothes. She became better. Anyway, fast forward through the story, right? Just because of her faith. Just because of her faith, everything made her better, right? Jesus told her to get up and that she was healed because of her faith, right? Okay, that's just nothing. That was just by the way. Jesus is going. Immediately after that, there was a commotion. One of the helpers, if you notice in the New King James Version, it says, this person that came to tell Jesus the news, he said, teacher. I just want to highlight there. It says, teacher. So these people actually didn't want to believe God as their Savior. They didn't want to believe Jesus was their Savior. But this man just came and said, teacher, there's no need because she is already dead. I didn't want to waste time, but I'm not wasting time. I didn't want to spend a lot of time in this, but it's just a story that we think we are familiar with. But like I said, every single time you revisit it, there's always just details about a story that we're always missing. And then it opens our mind to a story. And then we kind of put ourselves in the story or just put ourselves inside it and try and visualize and see if we can be there with them. Right? Anyway, Jesus picked 3 disciples. I'm pretty sure none of those 3 had asked him before the question that they were asked about him being touched with all these people, right? Anyway, Jesus went to the house with these 3 disciples, Peter, John, and James, right? I want to be a fly in that room and just see all these things that's going on in here. I mean, this woman has been sick for 12 years, but then again, she's been healed. That's nothing. There's something bigger coming. He goes in there. In the King James Version, it says, it calls her a damsel. That's why you hear a lot of people calling people damsel in distress, right? But Jesus said, arise, and she woke up, right? Anyway, let's get on. Turn with me to the book of John 11. 34 verse 44. Again, it's another familiar story that we know. Somebody say amen if they're there. Amen? Yes, I don't want anybody to sleep. Please make sure we're not sleeping, because if it was a movie theater and it was something else that was going on, everybody would be wide awake, right? This is just, I'm just asking just for an hour. I'm not even asking. This is God. I'm pretty sure this is why we are all here. Because we can't just be here just to be going wrong along with the ride, right? This is the story of Lazarus. I'm not going to go through in detail like I did the other story, but we already knew the story about Lazarus. By the time Jesus got there, he was already too late. Lazarus had died, right? He went to the grave and told Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. I want to put money on this, but I know it's not good, but I'm not even going to. But just think about it. What if he just went there and said, arise? Do you think all the dead bodies out there would be just coming forth? There was a reason why Jesus said, Lazarus, arise. This is the same word that we are speaking about, the word that is the light. So I hope you're following with me. I want to give an explanation of what is going on here. This is the same word that was in the beginning, which said, let there be light. And there was light. It's the same word that said, little girl, arise. And she rose. It is the same word that said to the woman, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. And she was healed. I need even to stop here and just go home, because everything is just explaining itself the way I just told you before. But I just bear with me. I'm almost done. It's the same word that called Lazarus by name. Lazarus, come forth. And he did. Amen? Let's switch corners real quick. And just open with me to the book of Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. Like I said, we think we know the Bible, but do we really know the Bible? These are familiar passages in the Bible that we always, there's people here who have been Adventists all through their lives. 60 years, 65 years, 40 years, 20 years, 4 years, 3 years and months also. But these are passages that are so sweet that we read and then it just makes our hearts melt because of the impact of the Word of God. And it reads, all scripture is given by inspiration to God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want to highlight some, just a couple words in there. For instruction in righteousness. A Let it sink for a minute. This is just not words that are just written out there. My brothers and sisters, these are words that are so authoritative. These are words that are made for a purpose. And why are these words on here? And why is this book so important in our lives? It's to thoroughly equip you for every good work, right? It's so simple. It's so simple. The last time I preached out here, I told you things. One thing. If you can't get the Bible and make it as simple as possible for a six-year-old to understand, there's no need. There's no need to even try. Because we find ourselves, especially now, people jump like there's just a sequence on how people come and preach, you know, trying to tell us so many things. Yes, they're important, but is the person that you're trying to tell ready for the message that you're about to give them? There's no need for you to come because you know the Bible and you've been in the Bible, you've been in the church for a long time. There's no need for you to come and start jumping and telling people how the world is coming to an end and they don't know about the Savior, the man Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you illustrations here. Because remember what I told you about the self-sufficiency that our human nature has? Because we think we are wise. But we are not. Not even one soul. Not even one. I want to bring everybody from up here all the way down and just make you feel the way you're supposed to feel. We do not know anything yet. We think we do, but we don't. There's people who have been scholars. They've gone to school. They've read different kind of subjects, different kind of materials. They've graduated with masters and done different things. But I want to just bring you just not, I don't know if we have any archaeologists in here. Good. I'll go ahead. Because I was going to get in trouble, but I want to talk a little bit about the Dead Sea Scrolls. By the way, my wife, Ashlyn, she's the one who made the presentation. So be sure just to tell her thank you because I'm not inclined to do all this. So she was making all this. She was like, okay. And then she didn't realize that these dead scrolls were found so recently, 1947. They were discovered by a young boy in 1947 who was throwing rocks at a cave, right? And then something broke in there. And then he went there and told his villagers that he found something. And then that's when they found a whole bunch of jars sealed with wax or tar, all these old parts. That's where they had hid all their scrolls, right? And these are scrolls, these were books, for those who don't know. During the Roman Empire, probably like about 30 years after Christ ascended to heaven, the Roman Empire marched into Jerusalem and they were trying to take over the city. So the people around that place hid all their, I want to say goods, but they hid all that was really precious to them. And I thank God because these were things that were really close to them, right? And what are those? They're the words of God. They were scriptures. These dead scrolls are important because they confirm the authenticity of the Bible writings that we already have. Up until 1944, and they're still discovering more right now at the same spot. They keep discovering different kind of things in all these different digs. People had debates. Remember what I told you about the self-sufficiency? People had even started doubting the Bible, if the Bible was actually a book that was written, or even the Bible existed before Christ was on earth. So this is a huge debate. So for these scrolls to be discovered in 1947 is huge. It's huge. And I'm going to explain here in a little bit. They used, there's a method called carbon 14 method. I don't know it, but this is to test the scrolls and the paper and the felt and the pen, how every stroke is, to date it. And they dated it to back to 253 BC. And among these scrolls was the whole book of the book of Isaiah. Ain't that something? 1947. My wife said, man, this is so recent. Our grandparents were alive. Right? 1947. Imagine that. Most of the old books in the Testament. And like I said, the whole book of Isaiah. In the book of Luke chapter 4, again, why I love the Bible, there's so many things, if you keep reading, you're going to keep finding out. Again, this was a Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, what was Jesus doing? He went to the synagogue and he was given a book to preach, to read out, to do the reading out there. Can anybody guess which book he was given to read? The book of Isaiah. 1947, and then Jesus. Forget about the dead scrolls. How many people know what I'm talking about when I say Rosetta Stone? It's not about the language. Most people might think about the computer program where you put in your computer and then it teaches you a new language, right? Discovered by a man called Napoleon Bonaparte in 1799. Now this one was a way back. This was 1799. This was way back before even Jesus. Before 1947, that's why I had it like that, is because I wanted to bring out the most recent one and then bring this one in. Napoleon Bonaparte was a man who went to invade Egypt. Because of the ancient history of the Egyptians, he took along him with three archaeologists, right? He went there with an army, but he took with him three archaeologists. They found a scroll, or they found a stone that was written in three different languages, and this was Rosetta Stone. So now you can tell me you know what Rosetta Stone is, because Rosetta Stone, the computer program, I think was derived from this. But then again, don't quote me on that. There's so many things. I want to spend so much time, but there's so many things on this translation, because on these three different languages, there was a key. There's so many things off of a key that was on that tablet that translated to many, many things found that in scriptures today. So we can see there's a pattern growing right now from the dead scrolls, a Dead Sea Scrolls, to Rosetta Stone. And then the last one that I want to highlight is Behistun Rock. I know most people is thinking like, what is he going to, like, what is he talking about? This was a discovery made in 1835. My whole sermon wasn't supposed to be giving you a history lesson or telling you about all these archaeological digs that were done all back in these days. But I'm just trying to show you that every single time, everything points back to the truth of this word that we find in the Bible. It was discovered by a man named Henry Rawlinson in modern day Iran. People say Iran. Where I come from, they might say Iran. You know, there's just apple, apple, you know, like that kind of difference. But anyway, it was an inscription on a mountain, 1,700 feet high. And there was a key also. So you can see how these ancient people thought. Think about right now, 50 years from today. You gotta feel sorry for our children. If I'm lucky, because in our church here we have something that we call the Bible memorization class. These people, they were memorizing scripture. But then again, they were thinking forward, because they thought about there was going to be a time. They must have read prophecies to understand that there's going to be a time that we need things like this just to reaffirm what we have been told, right? In this rock, after they translated with the key, it contains all the wonders of ancient Babylonia. It contains all the wonders of ancient Babylon and Assyria, which were made known to us. Amen? Archaeologists is not linked directly to spirituality. Those are two people you cannot put together the same room, you know? But from the book of Luke 19, verse 40, it talks about the talking stones. We can see there's a pattern that has grown all these three examples. And it's just not only three. I want to tell you, there's a whole bunch of different examples that we have. We see that the Word of God has been there and will always be there, no matter what we do. Lastly, I would just want to point you back, because I feel it'll be bad if I just said all this without bringing the book of Isaiah into context and see what the man Isaiah had to say about all this. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah 40, verse 8. Amen. Amen. And he reads, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." I just want to encourage each and every one of you here today. It's been a long year. Most of you came here probably expecting a New Year's message, you know, to send you packing. Hey, Happy New Year. No. I just want to tell you a simple truth. Make a resolution this year to start a plan, to start reading the Bible. If it's not something that comes naturally to you, try forcing it. And just slowly, slowly, you'll understand how it will come and manifest itself. And it will become a biggest Bible plan. By the end of the year, you might even end up to a Bible study group. I just want to encourage each and every one of you here today. Not even encourage, I want to challenge each and every one of you. Not to rely on their own wisdom, but to rely in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much.
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn.
Yeah. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the blessed one gives to all. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words,
kind and heavenly Father, we want to come before you, Father, in humility, Father, glorifying your name, Father. We want to thank you for this Sabbath day, Father. We want to thank you for Jesus Christ, Father. We want to thank you, Father, for your words in the Bible that you've given us, Father. Beautiful words, wonderful words, Father. As we come to conclusion to this year, Father, be with us. We want to thank you again, Father, for every single aspect in our lives, Father. Be with each and every one of us, and be with our close ones and family, Father, as we depart today, Father. Help this message today to be just reaching the right people and the right minds, Father. I pray this, trusting and believing. In Jesus' name, I do pray and believe. Amen.